We've been talking about the Edict of Tordov, and so I thought I would share with you the actual text of the edict itself, translated into English in its 16th century style. An act of religious tolerance and freedom of conscience, 1568, by King John Sigismund. His Majesty, our Lord, in what manner he, together with his realm, legislated in the matter of religion at the previous diets, in the same matter now, in this diet, reaffirms that in every place the preachers shall preach and explain the gospel, each according to his, or her, I added that, understanding of it, and if the congregation like it, well, if not, no one shall compel them, for their souls would not be satisfied. But they shall be permitted to keep a preacher whose teachings they approve. Therefore, none of the superintendents or others shall abuse the preachers. No one shall be reviled for his religion by anyone, according to the previous statutes. And it is not permitted that anyone should threaten anyone else by imprisonment or by removal from his post for his teaching. For faith is a gift from God, and this comes from hearing, which hearings is by the word of God. Here ends our reading. Now, what happened in Transylvania in 1568 under the rule of King John was truly remarkable. Despite the persecutions of Unitarians at that time, King John became one, and Unitarian theology came to be officially recognized by a Unitarian state. All of a sudden, the ideas that God is one, not three, that the church should be the church of Jesus, following what he taught and how he lived, not the church about Jesus, and that no one should be punished for thinking for themselves or believing what they wish, was formally recognized by a state government and codified in the Edict of Torda. These ideas were brewing on the left wing of the Protestant Reformation, which was happening all over Europe at this time. And these sort of left-wing ideas were radical indeed for that time, but they were not entirely new. You see, Unitarian theology has been alive since the time of Jesus, focusing on the teachings of Jesus, not the creeds of the church. But of course, that is not always widely known to folks, as Christian orthodoxy has worked hard to eradicate our theology. For example, the Arian crisis of the 4th century over the nature of the Trinity resulted in the Nicene Creed, which forever condemned in the church anyway the Unitarian position that Jesus is not quite equal to God. And then we have Michael Servetus, who was burnt at the stake just a few years before the Edict of Torda for his Unitarian beliefs. And of course, sadly, Francis David ended up in prison himself at the end of his life. So you can see that Unitarian theology has never been really very popular with the powerful, but it has survived. It has survived. We have inherited this faith from a long lineage of heretics, radicals, and revolutionaries who have fought for their religion against all the odds. Now, if you've ever heard someone suggest that Unitarian Universalism is new or somehow post-Christian, you can now say you know better. Because on the contrary, we are not that. We are pre-Orthodoxy. We are the descendants of thousands of years of religious heretics and radicals proclaiming unity, rejecting creeds, and siding again and again and again with religious tolerance, freedom, unity, and freedom of conscience. And that, my friends, is the real reason why we are celebrating today. When Francis David successfully convinced King John to convert to Unitarianism, The victory for Unitarian theology is, of course, very interesting and important. The one and only Unitarian king in history is quite a fascinating story worth remembering. But the real reason we remember King John is not for his beliefs about the nature of Jesus, but for his advocacy for religious tolerance. In his day, it would have been standard for King John to have his faith and to decree that everyone else in Transylvania also had to convert to his faith, the faith of the king. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. As he listened to David and adopted Unitarianism, he started to think, you know, maybe a forced faith is no faith at all. So he decided to allow his people to be free to believe whatever it was that they wanted to. He issued the Edict of Torda, an official declaration of religious tolerance, and for the first time, a whole kingdom of people were free to practice whatever religion they chose and believe whatever it is that they found to be true, no matter the king's chosen faith. That happened for the first time in Europe. Faith was suddenly accountable to the sacred alone, not the government. And the church itself was not accountable to the government either, because both the pulpit and the pew were declared free. Now, unfortunately, it didn't last long. King John died just a few years after he issued the edict, and his Catholic successor returned Transylvania to Catholicism. But the spirit of religious tolerance and freedom of conscience lived on. The spirit of freedom of conscience and religious tolerance took root in Transylvania, and Unitarianism has flourished in that area ever since. Now, modern-day Romania, Unitarianism is there and has been for quite a long time. Of course, it persisted in other areas of Europe as well, in little minority pockets and radical circles, and eventually some versions of that Unitarian theology made their way across the pond to America. Religious tolerance and freedom of conscience were essential, of course, to our founding fathers and to the fundamental spirit of America. Our country was founded on the separation of church and state, something which we can hear echoes of King John's edict in, right? Our country was founded on the separation of church and state. We have a Bill of Rights to protect us as citizens, and the First Amendment, which prohibits Congress from establishing a state religion. As a nation, this is the agreement we have made. We have agreed to live in a country where each person is free to practice whatever religion, set of beliefs that they choose. We have agreed to peacefully coexist across all of our differences, religious and otherwise. We have agreed that freedom of conscience is the only true kind of consciousness and the only one that we would have. But it seems to me that some of these ideas are once again becoming unpopular with the powerful. It seems to me that some of the leadership we have in this country has forgotten the strength of diversity and tolerance. Church, we are being called once again to stand up for tolerance and freedom of conscience. We are being called to offer prophetic leadership in 2018. Prophetic leadership. What is that, you ask? Another way of saying prophetic leadership is simply religious witness. Prophetic leadership is seeing what needs to be seen, saying what needs to be said, speaking truth to power, and standing up when a stand needs to be taken. That is what Francis David and King John Sigismund did in their time. They stood up for religious tolerance. And as we approach the 89th birthday of Dr. King tomorrow, let us remember that this is too what Dr. King did in his time. He stood up for racial justice. This is what we are being called to do in our time, people. But I don't need to tell you that, because you have already articulated that the mission of this church is to boldly fight for justice and equality We are called to live our mission of leading compassionate lives through spiritual growth and just action. This is our call. This is our time. So as we celebrate this weekend the 450th anniversary of the Edict of Torda, and at the same time celebrate the 89th birthday of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. tomorrow, let's remember this call. This call echoing forward to us across the ages from those who have bore religious witness and paved the way for our ability to sit here in these pews right now today. Let us lean into the prophetic nature of our faith, which steps outside of time when things are in despair and injustice is rampant, which steps outside of that reality and articulates a new and bold vision for the future. Let's recall the generations of faithful people who have stood up against all the odds to cast a vision and fight for a new and better way. Let's use our voices out in the public square to preserve religious tolerance and freedom for all. Let us proclaim the inherent worth and dignity of all people everywhere. Let us celebrate, honor, and center the voices of Haitians, Africans, Muslims, Jews, women, girls. Let us demand justice, equity, and compassion in all aspects of our civilization. That's where we come from, and that's what we must demand again. Let us fight for racial justice, women's rights, LGBTQ rights, and income equality in our time, in this day, in 2018, because it's our time now. Tolerance and understanding have always been needed, and I wonder if perhaps today they are needed more than ever. We have inherited this religious task, this faithful, wonderful, wild task from our ancestors who have been standing up for millennia. We must pick up this movement now towards justice and beloved community from the prophetic voices of our heritage that risked it all to fight for what is right. So it is time to bear religious witness. Mighty people, true freedom, tolerance, acceptance, diversity, and coexistence are values always worth fighting for. Our ancestors and the times we are living in now are calling us to remember this truth and hold on to our deepest values. And I know together we will overcome hatred, separation, and fear. Together we will bear religious witness, together with all the people of this world across all the nations and continents. We will build a world where tolerance and freedom of conscience are once and for all fully protected and respected, so that all may live lives that they choose and love. May this be so. Amen, and blessed be.